This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 177. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And hey, special guests on the phone. Why don't you guys speak up?
Hey, guys. Hey, everyone. I'm Joe Caroni, Star Wars artist.
And Brian Miller, also a Star Wars artist.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the show. It's been about a year.
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, was it a year? What were we on before for Celebration Orlando, I guess? Would that be 2 years?
Oh, maybe it was 2 years. Yeah. Wow.
I think it's been 2 years. Yeah.
The time has flown by.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, we see you like 3 times a year at
that is true.
Gym City and Queen, Cincinnati Comic Expo and all that.
Right.
Stuff.
Your backyard. Yeah. You know.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's just you going through his trash again.
Exactly. Threw away any sketches this week.
So Joe, you're up in Northern Ohio, and Brian, you're in Arizona, right?
Yes, I'm in lovely, lovely Phoenix, Arizona, where we think it's cold when it's 74 degrees today.
Well, we're all very envious of your weather right now. So
it's 74 today?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
42 here.
So are you bundled? Right now it's 42. Are you bundled up in like a nice jacket and, you know, warm sweatpants?
No, but if it was 64, then yes, I'd be like jacket and gloves.
Totally sounds like Florida.
That's so funny. Like I have friends who like have moved out to like California, right? And they're from Ohio, and you know the weather here is temperamental.
Erratic.
Yeah, and they go out there and it's like 60 degrees, and they're like, "Oh, it's so cold." I'm like, "If you were back here, you would be in shorts."
Yeah,
like, what are you complaining about? So it's always funny.
All it takes is 3 years on Tatooine, and then everywhere else feels like Hoth after that.
Awesome, awesome. So, all right. So, you guys are both going to be at Celebration, just like Johnny and I, which is super exciting.
Awesome.
We're going to be there all 5 days, Joe. So, you.
Holy cow! We're going to put you to work. You're going to help me and Brian at our booth now.
Hey,
thanks for letting us know that.
Hey, seriously, if you guys need anything, if you need something, just let us know. We'll go grab you food or water or whatever. We're happy to help. So
You guys, we're gonna dress you like us so that we can like actually take some time off. You guys can stand
I was gonna say, I'm just gonna sit at his booth and say I'm Joe Caroni, and
and no. Brian can be Brian.
I'll just answer to Brian. So
all I can say is that if you come to the booth on Monday, there will be a Brian there. I can't say which one.
So that would be
potluck Brian Monday.
Can I like sign things, but just like sign my name on your stuff?
I think Johnny knows my art well enough by now. He can sell it since he owns most of it. So
I could sign your name at this point, I think, Joe.
Yeah.
And that should make it look like your name.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay, so we'll have to have Johnny take some pictures with Ashley and, you know, post them on your Facebook page beforehand, just so people are like, wait a second, change your profile pictures.
There we go.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
She's laughing in the background.
Well, rightfully so. That's hilarious.
I'd be like, I'm Joe's younger brother, Johnny.
It's Johnny Caroni.
That is an Italian mobster name.
That is totally an Italian mobster name. And we're going
to
be in Chicago
need to be
too.
Broke,
so
I will break kneecaps.
Joe, this is how many celebrations for you?
All of them.
Okay.
Except for two. I didn't go to the very first one in Denver in 1999, and then the only other one I missed was Celebration Japan in 2008.
Okay.
And that's not his fault. He spent Japan in the hospital. That's
Yeah, I would have gone if I was in the process of moving at that time, so I couldn't work it out with my schedule, but But yeah, I've been to every Celebration except for those two. So Celebration's like a 20. I think it's 20 years old now this
year. Yeah.
It's so. You know, which they do them every 2 to 3 years. So I don't know how many Celebrations that is, but it's some like 10. I don't know how many, eight.
Well, counting like
8 or 9
Europe and all that, because they did. Like, so there's one in the same year.
Yep. And I've been to, Brian and I have been to Celebration, Europe, London, and I've been to Celebration Germany. So yeah, that was those were fun times too. Hopefully they'll do that again this year. I haven't heard anything yet about another European show, but you never know. Maybe this year or next year they'll do one.
And what about you,
Celebration
Brian?
Venice? Let's make it happen.
There we. Oh my God, yes.
Brian, how many have you been to?
This 4. Yeah, okay. This will be number 4 for me. So I'm like the half pint compared to Joe.
Brian got into the Star Wars game a little later than I did, but the last every Celebration he's been a part of, he's just killed it. So I mean, he's already a pro, so don't let him fool you.
We were teasing him about the piece that he's putting up for pre-sale.
Yeah, it's a really cool piece. It's a very unique concept. I think hopefully fans will really dig it.
Well, I have the perfect spot. I have the perfect spot on my wall just above Joe's I Rebel artist proof. So,
oh, there we go.
You know, it'll be, or actually right above my Miami thing too. So yeah, I've just got, I definitely want that. So.
Cool. I'm pretty excited about it. Like this year for Celebration, Lucasfilm allowed us to do 2 submissions, and they sort of let us know they're looking for things that were like weird or fresh or different. So my first piece was something that's very much kind of in keeping with everything else that you might have seen from me over the last few years.
Yeah.
And then I had this idea, and I had been making up these like kind of fantasy or fictional like vintage luggage labels for different planets from the Star Wars universe. I had really just been doing it kind of for myself, as I thought it was entertaining because I like all these vintage things. And then it sort of hit me one day, like, oh, I could put these together in a way that would like retell the story of the original trilogy if I put them like in the right order, the different planets. And so I kind of had that epiphany, and I thought, well, Lucasfilm said they wanted to see something different. I'll just send this over. And, you know, like all the other artists, I sat and waited for months and months, and I heard back and they said, hey, you're approved for the art show, but, you know, give us a call. We want to talk to you about one of these pieces. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they hated this idea that I had. It was too crazy. It was too out of left field. And so I called up and they said, you know what? We like both of them, but we really think this luggage label thing is totally cool. And really would like to see you go forward with that. So I was shocked. I didn't expect that reaction.
That's awesome.
I thought it was going to be too far out there. So it was really nice to get that reaction, and hopefully all the fans will react the same way.
Yeah, hopefully.
You should be selling like individual luggage labels at your
Well, I tried to present it in a way that kind of almost looks like a shadow box, like it's a collection.
Yeah.
And then if you follow them in order, it sort of leads you through the original trilogy, sort of up until the end where if you had booked your passage on the Death Star, obviously that's not going to happen at the end of Return of the Jedi. Right. So there's a little twist there.
These would these would look really cool as those enamel pins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, that's maybe something Lucasfilm will let us do in the future.
So, okay, I have a question about that for you guys then. So when you create these things for Celebration or like Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con and things like that, like, how much leeway do you have to use that outside of those? And how much leeway do you have to, like, do other kinds of prints or, like, a shirt or something like that?
Yeah, that's all usually up to licensing. I mean, we're not really allowed to do merchandising based off our artwork. That's something that goes through Lucasfilm and licensing and publishing, where they make those kind of decisions with, you know, reusing artwork. Like some of my previous Celebration prints were made into puzzles recently.
Mm-hmm.
For Buffalo, I think Buffalo Games. And so that was Buffalo Games as a licensee going through the style guide, which Lucasfilm sends out to different publishers that have the license, and they allow them to pick images that they want to use on, you know, puzzles or coffee mugs or t-shirts or notebooks or whatever. So then the licensor picks the artwork they like. So they chose some of my previous Celebration art, and they've been reprinting them as puzzles. And I've seen this, and some of our artwork's been on t-shirts and other things. And which is kind of cool, because then that led to Buffalo Puzzles and Games. They're out in New York, obviously. So they contacted me and said, hey, we've been publishing your puzzles. We want to do more puzzles of your artwork. You know, do you have anything we can use? Would you be interested in doing some new artwork for us? So I'm actually talking to them currently about possibilities of doing that. So, you know, sometimes it works out that way too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think Joe's totally on the ball there, in that it seems to be that whenever we create something, whether it's with a licensor or if it's, you know, directly with Lucasfilm, those usually generate new opportunities. And like he said, it's almost always a phone call. And it's kind of funny how those things work out. You might, you know, 6 months or a year later, get that phone call from a book publisher or a, you know, some other licensee, and they say, hey, I saw this thing that you did at Celebration. What can you do for us? And, you know, I think sometimes as artists, we get so focused on what we want to do that we can miss those opportunities. But if we just create things that are cool, those opportunities might find us instead.
Cool.
Right. It's something I've noticed too in recent years. Like, instead of waiting around for work to land in my lap, it seems to be more beneficial when I'm just making art and throwing it out there and getting the attention of some. Like I'll do a painting just for myself and I'll put it out there, and then that attracts a studio or a publisher to go, oh, hey, we really love that piece you did. Or we saw this artwork at a convention, we would love to hire you. So oftentimes it pays to be proactive and to stay productive regardless of whether you have an actual gig or not. Sometimes.
It's so true. I have a friend, he's one of the most talented comic book artists I've probably ever known, and he's forever just sitting around sort of complaining about being unemployed. And it's like, why doesn't DC call me? I can draw Batman better than that artist. Or why doesn't Marvel call me? I can draw Spider-Man better than that artist. And he might be right, but the fact is he isn't drawing anything. He isn't creating anything. He's just sort of like waiting around. And unfortunately, right, that doesn't really do anything. So, you know, if you're creating something every day and sharing it on social media, even if that's just for fun or for yourself, sometimes that generates the best results. And I think Joe and I have both sort of seen that. I mean, a lot of things we do are either just to sort of entertain ourselves or entertain our fans and followers. And then the next thing we know, that sort of, you know, aligns itself into some sort of official project.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, I totally
so Joe, did you do more pieces to get picked? Like, did you do multiple pieces to get picked for Celebration?
Well, the way it worked this year for Celebration, I submitted a couple of concepts. Unfortunately, they weren't selected because the themes were – I found out after the fact that there were some similar pieces by other artists that were similar, either similar in composition or similar theme, that they sort of canceled – mine out, unfortunately. So I won't have an exclusive piece at the show, but I am working on new Star Wars art for the event. I'm actually going to have some original canvases, hand-painted, hand-embellished artwork that'll be brand new for Celebration that I'll be selling to collectors. Now they won't be prints necessarily, but they'll be hand-embellished canvases that I'm, you know, maybe a little higher end on the sales.
Kind of one of a kind figure. Stuff in that.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They'll be one of a kind. So yeah. but they'll be available at the show for any collectors that come by and want to grab one.
Cool.
And I will have some other prints, and I'll have some other previous celebration artist proofs available. We'll have sketch cards and sketch covers, and we're going to still have quite a bit of artwork to offer, actually. I mean, I've been doing Star Wars art for 20 years, so for me to go to Celebration, I'm still going to have a ton of stuff to offer for fans. So
yeah, and Joe's being really modest. I mean, some of this canvas stuff that he's going to have, you know, these canvas works are incredible, and anyone who collects his art, or they're going to want to get there on the first day and pick those up, because if you think you're going to wait around until Sunday or Monday, those are going to be long gone.
Brian's right that they're going to be kind of limited too, so I'm hoping, it's not like I'm going to have a lot of these, so I'm hoping some of my serious collectors will pick these up right away. I mean, but you never know. I mean, I'm not going to have a ton of these canvases, but hopefully people will come by and check them out, and yeah, hopefully by Monday they'll be long gone, but we'll see.
Are you going to show any of them before Celebration? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've been, if anyone's been following me on Instagram or Facebook, I've been posting little previews of the artwork in progress. So now some of it, I'm being a little, what's the word, kind of
coy,
cagey.
Yeah, well, not coy, but because some of the work I'm showing is actually previews of some licensing work that I'm doing for Disney. So that those won't necessarily be at the convention, but some of those pieces will. And I'm just kind of like, basically, I'm just trying to generate hype for our appearance at Celebration by sharing all the new Star Wars art that I'm currently working on. So I'm kind of juggling a couple things. I'm doing work for Celebration, but I'm also doing new work for Disney for licensing, and hopefully those get approved. And then, you know, yes. Yeah, so regardless, you're going to see some new stuff. Now, I will say that I think the majority of the work I'm going to be, the new stuff I'm going to be showing at Celebration is going to be from The Last Jedi. So there'll be like Kylo and Rey and Captain Phasma and Finn and that kind of
that
stuff. So
movie.
Oh, that movie. Way to be controversial, Joe.
Yeah. Well, hey, I loved it. I loved it, I'm going to do art for it. So
I ain't mad at him.
Yeah, no.
It's not one of my favorites, but I ain't mad at him.
It's not a bad It's not a bad movie. It is not. On a whole, it's not a bad movie.
Have particular nitpicks.
Right. And there are just some silly things that happen, but I enjoyed it.
Oh,
as
I
well.
Loved it. To me, it's the genius of the film is, you know, it's right up there with it's just under The Empire Strikes Back for me. I love Last Jedi so much.
I'm all
and
about
some of it's okay. Generational. I mean, yeah. I was just at Epcot International Festival of the Arts, and so many of the fans who were, you know, say 12 and under, they love Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rey and Kylo are their two favorite characters, and they know the movie by heart. So, you know, just because there's some grumpy old people out there who didn't like it, it's not connecting with
Named Johnny.
Named Johnny.
So I love Rey. I think the whole idea of Rey is fantastic. And I like Rian Johnson's theme of ending the Skywalker saga. Like, I think that that's long past due.
Yeah.
And, you know, so as a whole, like, I mean, we've been over this on the podcast
yeah,
a thousand times.
This.
Like, I like the movie on a whole, and I like the parts I like, I love, and the parts I don't like, I
Joe's
just really
to
don't
it
like.
And shook his fist at yeah. me already.
Brian and Johnny. So.
He's like, I'll make Johnny not buy my art. I'll do Last Jedi art.
So, hey, Brian, I could see them using these luggage tags for Star Wars Galaxy in Disneyland, you know?
Oh,
like,
for
as repurposing
I would be blown away
way.
If that happened. I mean, I think, you know, the Lucasfilm Disney relationship goes deep, so who knows what they'll do. But yeah, that'd be pretty cool if that happened.
So do you guys get
royalties? You better get on those Empire Strikes yeah. Back ones now.
Do you guys get royalties when they reuse your licensed work, or is the license just the one-time payment and that's it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Well, for Celebration, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm doing, like, some of the work that I do is directly for Disney parks, where I'm not getting an outright paycheck, but I do get royalties on you know, a percentage
okay.
of the sales. So in that case, it's different, but like most of the time for what Brian and I do, whether it's for celebration or whether it's for publishing, yeah, we're not getting royalties for that.
Okay.
But,
I mean, we don't own Star Wars. We don't own the characters.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, we're fortunate to get to do what we do, and they get to take what we create and run with it sometimes, which is fine because that usually leads to new fans and new opportunities.
Do you guys have to pay for the license?
No. Okay. We're hired as like basically
freelancers,
you know, freelance illustrators. Yeah. So okay. Like, now, I mean, it's not to say that at one point that was an option, like back in the day, I know Dave Dorman bought the Star Wars license back in the early mid 90s when it was actually affordable and he had his own line of fine art prints through his own license. I don't think they don't offer that now for individual artists, at least maybe not that I'm aware of, but yeah, we don't own the license, or we can't buy the license. The celebration is like a limited, mm-hmm. a very limited use license for that, in regards to that event.
Are you limited to the number of prints you can sell over the week?
Yeah. We're limited to 250 prints.
Right. Yeah. On the celebration exclusive, it's limited to 250. Some artists will do less. And if they're doing something special that's, you know, maybe it's something that's printed on canvas or something that's more complicated, they may do less, but the maximum is 250 pieces. And, you know, with so many thousands of people going to celebration, you realize that's not really very many pieces. So like the last several celebrations, I've been lucky and I've seen my piece sell out maybe on, you know, the Friday or the Saturday. So, you know, whether it's my art or Joe's art or one of the other art show artists, if there's one you see that you like, definitely, you know, either pre-order it or go get it on the first day, because odds are by Sunday, when you're done with your autographs and you're done with your panels and you think today's the day I'm going to go get art, there's probably not going to be anything left.
It's funny when you said autographs, Johnny and I just kind of looked at each other because like we were looking at the prices for autographs. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to stalk these people on the streets of Chicago and just say hi. Like I can't pay $200 to meet somebody.
yeah. It's you got to figure the actor gets their cut.
Oh yeah.
But then their agent gets a percentage, and then Tops as the licensor gets their percentage. And then, so what it comes, normally these celebrities would probably charge, you know, much less at a different, under different circumstances or at a different venue or different event. But with celebration, there's so many, you know, Disney, Lucasfilm,
oh, yeah.
Tops, there's all these, everyone gets a cut. So like the autograph rates keep going up and
yeah.
up because like, well, we got to charge a little more so this guy can get his share.
Well, compared to Celebration 3 is the only other
yeah.
celebration I went to. And compared to that, these prices are blowing.
Well,
that
I was
out of
gonna say, like the actual price, like
yeah.
like $65, like to get a picture with Sam Witwer, like fine. But then you go and it's a 6% like service fee, and then
right.
because it's in Chicago, it's a 10.25% sales tax. And it's like, okay,
right,
well, you
right.
guys just priced me out of that because now
they didn't
it's 2 weeks
for like
my
Celebration
blood.
3. They didn't have service so, fees they, because
yeah.
it was official picks.
Right.
It was not Tops,
and that's like with your own phone.
yeah,
right.
So, I don't
yeah,
know.
I've heard a lot of fans sort of say that, you know, whether it's the hotel room or any of the other sort of fees associated, something about the Chicago show seems like it's a little bit more expensive than maybe the ones in Anaheim or Orlando.
So Chicago is like a really, really expensive city just in general, and they have, you know, they have a lot of restrictions on like their hotels for like cost and things like that. We actually did an Airbnb because it was significantly cheaper.
Right.
That's an option?
Yeah.
Hey Joe, we need to talk about this Airbnb thing.
Yeah.
we're like 6 miles away.
It's like a 10-minute Uber ride.
Yeah.
So
oh, nice.
Yeah. So it'll be nice, like just go park and Uber back and forth.
Right.
So
you'll see us carrying our giant crates of artwork back and forth for
we'll wave as we Uber by.
yeah.
For the right price, I will carry stuff.
Johnny is one heck of a pack mule. I'll say that.
We can pay him in action figures, I think.
Ooh, hey. If anybody's got a yak face,
say,
like we're talking an original Kenner yak face.
It depends on how vintage they are, Joe. Can't just be any action figure.
I only need four.
Really?
I'll be done. Yeah.
Wow. Only
Are you going to finish that out this
four,
this
and then I've got to fix. I've got to get three or four that are improvements of the ones I had from when I was a child. So
that's always the way, right? I have a friend who collects, and he recently went to get all the Disney's Black Hole action figures.
Yes.
And he had to like buy a bunch of them from Italy and some of them from Europe. And he just spent thousands and thousands of dollars to complete his collection. And, you know, it's amazing, but at the same time, it's like just how much of an impact these things have on us when we're a kid that as adults, we're just like go insane for it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And all of mine are last 17, like the four I'm missing are last 17. So that's the hardest ones to get.
Oh, the power of the force.
The power of the force. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Unfortunately, when I was a kid, and when that particular line of figures came out the year after Return of the Jedi in 1984, I was already like, I just stopped collecting Star Wars right before that line came out, and I was into G.I. Joe and Transformers, so I was like, now I regret not buying that last wave of Star Wars figures.
Yeah, like, literally, I remember, and I still have, like, all my Star Wars figures when I was a kid, and I got some of those Power of the Force. That was the last bit of Star Wars stuff I ever got as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So I had, like, a Man-A-Man and a couple other ones, and people are like, you got those for Christmas?
Yeah,
I'm like,
I know,
yes.
Right?
I said, I got those for Christmas. I said, I have the coin still and everything.
That's awesome.
And then they're like, wow. And then, like, I've just gone on a kick of, you know, trying to get them when I can find them for at least a decent price.
Right, right.
I mean, Yak Face is like $450 at one of our local
wow.
toy stores right now.
Well, I'm getting a new Yak Face in my sail barge.
Did you get the sail barge?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was luckily Ashley and I have a friend at Hasbro who was able to kind of help us out in procuring one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I still had to pay some good money for
sure.
it. But
I
but,
chose
yeah,
not to go with that one.
I don't
it's
have
just,
anywhere to
yeah,
put
I mean that yeah, I know it's huge.
Yeah.
It's gonna I don't know. It's like the Lego
Elva wouldn't have liked
Falcon
me getting
night.
That one.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea where I'm gonna put it.
A box.
Well, if you have a sail barge, you can just put it in a real lake and then you're good.
There you go. There you go.
There is a pond outside of our near our apartment village.
See,
over
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about action figures, is anybody watching Resistance?
I watched the first three episodes. I haven't caught up. I like
what?
Watched
oh,
them.
I got
through number 9, and then basketball season started. So now that basketball season ended, I'm gonna go back and I think it's
yeah,
on what 19. So I'm like 10 behind. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
like,
what I've watched, I enjoyed. It's just Disney and Christmas got yeah. in the way of me really watching anything. I'm behind on a lot of stuff.
I'm a big fan of Kaz because I feel like he's a different character than we've seen before.
Yeah,
because he's actually like spoiled and entitled, but like almost a doofus, but then highly skilled at the same time. He's very interesting.
Right, he's not the normal
yeah,
Star
he's a
Wars
complex character.
So
definitely,
he's like I feel like. So when Rebel started, Ezra felt like a pretty, you know, one, two-ish dimensional character and then grew into a complete three-dimensional character.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kaz has a little more dimension from the jump.
Right.
And, you know, that being said, like, I remember, like, with Rebels, I was lukewarm on the first season. And then,
well, they always, yeah,
right.
I think it's even with Clone Wars, the first season's not as
oh,
strong
yeah.
as the rest of the series, but they have to start out with getting their core audience, you know, which is a younger
mm-hmm.
audience. So we're talking kids that, you know, these are cartoons, but they do work on another level for the older fans. And
oh, I agree. I mean, like,
I think
oh, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just say, I think Resistance is no different. I mean, it might be a little more mature than say the first season of Clone Wars, but it still is kind of those first seasons of every Lucasfilm animated Star Wars show. It's meant to be like, okay, let's start out, you know, let's go a little easy and let's build up to
yeah.
the more mature, darker, you know, grittier Star Wars that the fans know.
So, I don't need it to go
Resistance
dark
is
and
on
gritty.
Its way to there.
Yeah, I don't need it to go dark
no,
and gritty.
No, it's not.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So,
and the way they handled like BB-8 leading the series and how it connects to The Force Awakens, I thought was genius. And right. Now I'm ready for like CB-23 to become like my new favorite droid.
So yeah, BB-8 like is the shared Netflix password of the Star Wars universe, right? Like everybody just gets a turn with them. The other thing that was cool is how they tied it into the Poe Dameron comic with the Black Fighter being destroyed and everything like that, and you know being rebuilt.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, so that like it's really neat to see them going all in on canon across the properties.
Yeah, well, they can do that now that they've rebooted and they have a little more control as opposed to back in the day when trying to incorporate things from what Marvel did 30 years ago to what Dark Horse did. You know, writers, there wasn't a story group that was sort of spearheading everything. So now they can manage that a little more correctly.
Yeah.
And
we
can get more cohesive canon.
So, yeah, I mean, well, like Pablo and his team. Oh, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Oh, no, they're amazing. Pablo is amazing. And I think just as artists, you know, I love the original trilogy. And, you know, we've got an anniversary coming up for The Phantom Menace, and that's cool, too. But then having something new like Resistance, it just gives us new characters to play with and new ships to play with and, you know, different ideas to play with. And so I'm really excited about seeing where this will go and what opportunities come to Joe and I to play with these characters, because I think that's part of the fun of this universe is, you know, those of us that grew up with the Skywalkers sort of have a certain point of view, but there's going to be kids that grow up where Resistance is their first exposure to Star Wars. They're going to have a completely different point of view than we do.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for older fans like us, when we think of Star Wars, it sort of ends and begins with like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. I mean, we love all this other stuff, but when we think of Star Wars, we're like, oh, classic trilogy. That's the Star Wars. That's what really matters. But I'm not saying that's not how I think necessarily, but I think in general, a lot of older fans do. But for newer fans, younger fans, I mean, that to them is not going to be their Star Wars. Resistance is going to be their Star Wars. The Force Awakens and Last Jedi in Episode 9, that's going to be their Star Wars. And those are the characters that they're going to connect with the most and remember the most because, you know, so, and I'm okay with that because I love Rey and Kylo and Poe and Finn. And I'm connecting with them pretty much as I did with Luke, Leia, and Han. So I get why, you know, the older fans aren't as accepting of the newer films because you have to really love these characters to go on that journey of The Last Jedi to really be invested in it and to believe in it. So I think a lot of older fans maybe aren't as invested in those characters. And that's okay, but the younger fans will be. And
right.
then they're the ones that are going to carry Star Wars into the future for generation.
It's the same as the prequels.
Yeah, I mean, there's a generation of kids whose favorite character is Jar Jar Binks. They may not admit it now, but that's their favorite character.
But,
yeah,
you know, they're all in their mid-20s to late-20s now. So for them, Jar Jar and Anakin and all those.
Right. And I have an interesting anecdote to that because back when the prequels were coming out and I was, you know, and I was working on Star Wars art then for Lucasfilm and I was creating all this prequel art and a lot of it like Clone Wars era art with Brian. So at the time that artwork we were doing, it wasn't as like super popular, but now those kids have grown up that grew up during the prequels. Now they're 20 something year olds that have bank accounts. Now when I go to conventions, all that Clone Wars art that I did with Brian or that prequel art that I did with Brian, now that's the stuff that's selling. Mm-hmm. Like that's the artwork because these kids have grown up and they're like, oh, wow, General Grievous. Oh, wow, Clone Troopers. And they're, like, throwing money. I'm like, why wasn't this art selling 10 years ago? But it's like, oh, wait, now it's selling now.
So, now it's vintage.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, but it's what those kids grew up with. And, yeah, it's vintage to them. It's what they remember. So
it's so true. I mean, I did a couple of Kylo Ren pieces right when The Force Awakens came out. I thought, oh, you know, he's awesome. He's going to be the next Darth Vader. And I sort of got, like, a collective yawn from fans. And then this year it's come all the way around full circle where everyone's like, what do you have that's Kylo? What do you have Kylo and Rey together?
Nice.
And
Reylo.
You know, that sort of thing. Reylo. And then again, with Phantom Menace, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary this year. And I think I know a couple of the other Star Wars Celebration artists and I've seen a couple of their pieces and there's going to be some really cool anniversary Phantom Menace art there. And I think it's a lot of people aren't expecting it. And when they see it, they're going to have those, like the feeling of nostalgia, and they're going to want to take it home.
Yeah.
Is there like anywhere that they're like, is the Celebration page going to have previews of all these art pieces that are going to be the exclusives?
Yeah. So tomorrow, or well, I don't know when this is going to come out, but Wednesday, February 27th is when all of the Star Wars Celebration exclusives will go on sale. Depending on the artist, it'll go either go through one of the central websites like Acme Archives or through the individual artist website like myself and like some of the other artists. But it'll all be available on that date. And if there's any artist you follow like myself or Joe or others, you know, you can hit their social media, hit their websites on the 27th and go and do those pre-orders, because that way you can just walk in and pick it up and not have to worry about crowds or not have to worry about, you know, all the other things you're spending money on, like autographs.
That's what I need to do. I just need to pre-order everything and pay for it now.
Yeah.
And then
right.
not spend any money while
well, no, there. then you have
no,
money.
I
mean,
it feels like
no, no, I know. I'm kidding. So
so with the exclusives, like if they pre-order from you, they come to your table and get their pre-order, right? Is that how that works?
That's right. So they'll come to mine and Joe's booth, which is 3116, booth number 3116. And they just will come and give me their name, and I'll have a list, and I'll get their pre-order for them, and they don't have to do anything but just take it and walk away. So like, it really does. When you pre-order, it makes it easy because you just kind of feel like you just
Yeah, tell them how they can pre-order your print through Octopolis. Oh, sure.
So they'll just go to my website, which is octopolis.com,
we'll
and there
link.
Will be a nice little link in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about spelling it. but on Wednesday the 27th, the pre-sales will go live. Just go on the website, do your pre-order. Now, the trick with Celebration is you have to pick it up, or someone you know has to pick it up there. So you can only order it if you or your representative are going to be at Star Wars Celebration, because it is exclusive to the show. And then once the show comes around, you just walk up to the booth, give us your information, and we'll get the print for you. Cool. We are limited to 250 pieces. So, you know, if you want a low number, you might want to be there on the first day of the show to make sure you get the number that you want, because there'll be fewer and fewer available, even if you've pre-ordered as the show goes on.
Are you going to send it out, an email out from the Octopolis mailing list?
Yeah, so everybody who's part of my Poster Collectors Club, they will receive an email somewhere around midnight,
okay,
the night before, and it'll have all the pre-order directions on there. And then that pre-order link will go live at noon Pacific time on Wednesday, February the 27th.
So this this episode will go live on Sunday. So I'll make sure that I tweet out about it tomorrow at like 12:05 after I've done my pre-order.
Wow.
Yeah, the pre-orders will be live for several weeks. So, I mean, you know, it should be available. It just depends on how fast they sell out.
Yeah.
You just never know. I had a Darth Vader print that sold out in a couple of days, and then I had the Kylo Ren print that didn't. So I never really know how people are going to respond. And I think as artists, we're very insecure individuals. So we just sort of put our stuff out there and be like, please like me. Please like my art.
Please, mister, buy my art.
No, I just want to hear stories of archaeological digs.
No kidding. So what are you going to do if you guys are in Oman, Brian, and you guys find like a lightsaber hilt and be like, oh my god, it was real.
They filmed Star Wars.
I was going
this was
totally
Tatooine.
The other way and saying if Brendan Fraser shows up, you might want to just go ahead and leave.
Just run.
We always joke about we're going to find a couple of tombs. The first would be the tomb of the golden camel. That would be pretty cool. But the other would be the tomb of the unknown archaeologist, and that would be less cool.
Yeah. Brush in hand. Oh
yeah, if we found a lightsaber hilt, yeah, that would be life changing. Especially I'm not in the middle of the desert. I would think I was hallucinating. I would believe.
My thing's going to be in a forest out in the Pacific Northwest one day and find the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that story still stands out in my head.
I'll just find a porg, but then it'll end up turning into like a gremlins type thing or something where I feed
nice.
It after midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, trebles. They'll just, you know.
Did you read Star Wars Tales at all, Brian? The comic book from Dark Horse?
You know some of them, but I didn't read every issue.
So there was a story where
number 19.
Was it number 19? Yeah. So number 19 had a story where Han and Chewie are being chased by TIE fighters and just jump to light speed, but they don't put in like a course or anything, and they crash on Earth.
And then they end up finding the remains of, so Han Solo comes across the remains of Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones finds Han Solo because they're looking for
Sasquatch.
Right. And the Sasquatch turns out to be Chewbacca.
So then it jumps
in 1935 or whatever. Right. Then it's Indiana Jones. He finds
the Millennium Falcon. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. I'm getting on Comixology right now and getting this.
Yeah. That story. It's like we just totally told you the whole story, but it's an awesome story to read.
The artwork is so cool to see. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then at the end, like Chuck Heston shows up and he's like, "Get your paws off me, you damn dirty Wookiee."
There you go.
Hey, I'm happy that Skippy the Jedi droid is going to be in The Mandalorian. So,
yes.
And Skippy the Jedi droid was R5-D4, which was a Star Wars Tales story also.
Peter David wrote that one.
Yeah. Oh, did he? That's right. Yeah. I worked with Peter. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's so ridiculous. It's because it's a Peter David story.
Right. And then I think Favreau tweeted out a picture of R5-D4 on the set of
The
Mandalorians.
Yeah. So do you guys know any of, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys know stuff that's happened in episode 9 and stuff like that already, just for the artwork and that sort of thing.
Joe
but
knows everything.
Do you guys know, not
as much.
I mean, have you guys been like given input on like what's going to happen with The Mandalorian so you guys can do art for it, or some of the other stuff that's coming?
Me personally, not specifically. Most of what I end up doing is just prior to a movie's release or right after, it seems like. So I know some of my friends are doing licensing art, so they're privy to, you know, images and plot points from the upcoming stuff. But nothing. The thing is, there's so much happening in with Star Wars in production currently, with so many shows and movies and being produced, with, you've got the Game of Thrones guys, you've got Ryan Johnson's trilogy. There's just so much happening. I would love to.
I think everything is more secretive than it used to be. So many leaks now and things that, you know, not that they don't trust us as artists. It's just that I think all these people that are producing the movies and TV shows have to keep everything much, much closer to the vest than they used to.
Damn internet.
Yeah.
People are more savvy too now, so you could show something and people figure it out fast.
Well, I mean, it's like Game of Thrones right now is filming, and like people sit on a mountain, two mountains away, with a telephoto lens and try and take pictures. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it used to be. I mean, back, I remember when I was working on stuff for the prequels. I still had to sign NDAs, but it was a little more loose with information sharing in terms of reference or even script. At that stage, but then, with the rise of social media and the internet, and then Disney buying Star Wars, it's just like they've had to really batten down the hatches on a lot of that stuff now. But like I said, when I am doing something, sometimes if a project comes along, like they'll give you the right reference you need, but you're still not exact. Like I think Brian recently did, like when you were doing the U-wings for and that was before Rogue One had come out, I think.
Yes.
And you were having to, like, basically...
Yeah, I mean, I think basically... Yeah, they gave me some, like, really, really early reference. And so I drew my U-Wing from that. And then by the time it got to the sort of, like, pre-approval stage, what they were doing on screen had changed. And so I sort of had to go in at the 11th hour and, like, redraw the entire U-Wings.
Oh, no.
Because the ship itself would sort of say the same, but the deco, like the blue and white pattern, had changed. And so it's amazing how much changes even just over the course of production of one of these films, to where as artists, we're sort of sometimes playing catch up, or we're never really working in the dark, but we sometimes have early information. And so at the end, we're having to go in and sort of make tweaks and changes to make sure it matches what the final film is going to be.
it's like we're the last people on the totem pole in this big Star Wars, you know, assembly line to really guys like what we do as illustrators for licensing or illustrators for Star Wars publishing or whatever. It's we're like the last people to know when something changes or if something happens, basically. So
yeah, but sometimes we get to drive the conversation too. You know, I mean, like I know Joe and myself, we've both had the opportunity to create some really cool propaganda art. And sometimes those things kind of came out of nowhere. They were just sort of our ideas based on Star Wars characters or Star Wars ships. And, you know, then we got really lucky with the Star Wars propaganda book that was spun up. And, you know, they asked both of us to participate in that. So it kind of goes both ways. You can sometimes be in the dark or sometimes be not on the leading edge, but out there kind of in front of things, and then it all kind of catches up.
Well, yeah, definitely in regards to publishing. Yeah. And, but in a more specific in regards to the films, we're not always like on the cusp of what they're doing immediately necessarily, but
right.
But yeah, when we're offered, yeah, like with the propaganda stuff, we were like, definitely, I'm very much a part of that conversation from the beginning to be like, hey, we want you guys to do this. You know, it's like, okay, cool.
That is cool.
So have you done any Mandalorian sketches yet, Joe?
Not yet. I mean, I would love to do something because I'm a huge Boba Fett fan. I'm excited for, I know it's not Boba Fett, but I'm excited for the Mandalorian show and how that connects with that whole legacy. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure once a little more information comes out, or who knows, maybe a project will come up and then I can pitch for it, or they'll pitch me on something that they want. Definitely. I mean, that's definitely on my radar. So at the very least, you know, yeah, maybe I'll do some fan art at some point in between all the millions of other things I got to do right now. So.
Disney's got your nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, Star Wars definitely does. Yeah.
Are you doing stuff for the gallery again? Is that what you're doing, or
did you say? This is a little different right now. I'm doing work for Disney's consumer products licensing division for the parks. Okay. So yeah, so it's not necessarily, it kind of came from my work with Wonderground Gallery. Yeah. And then it kind of spun off from there. So so we'll see. I mean, I'm doing work for them right now, and then doing some new pieces for Celebration that I want to sell as original art. So just kind of all over the place right now.
Joe, are you not telling us the truth? Are you actually making this Skype call from somewhere inside the Millennium Falcon at Galaxy's Edge?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm going to live there as soon as it opens.
He's already got it booked. He's going to be there.
He's doing the hotel,
June.
The quote unquote hotel art for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like,
oh,
what
I
does,
wish. Yeah.
What does the Star Wars art look like? Not like just the characters, but like, what does that universe's art like?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, reading a lot of Thrawn.
So what you're saying is an artist who's doing artists in the Star Wars galaxy. That's a career that I'm going to take on now.
He's embracing his inner Thrawn, and like, you know, like what is, and you know, Brian's wife is helping him too with just from an archaeological perspective. Like what is this culture's art? And then they collaborate, and then Joe does his Joe thing.
Well, and since everything's
we
been
need
erased,
an alien that's named. We need some sort of Star Wars alien that's named like Rob Boss and he's an artist.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So, are you guys, so do you guys know anything about like Star Wars Galaxy, like as far as like the kind of things that they'll sell as far as Star Wars merch or
Galaxy's
art
Edge.
Or things like that? Yeah, sorry.
Everything. They will sell everything. Joe's doing puzzles right now. That's what Joe's doing, Disney puzzles.
So, Brian, make sure you share this podcast about the idea about the pins for your luggage tags, because those would be hot demand, I think.
That would be really cool. I'll definitely be sharing that with a couple of the Imagineers that I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I just need a sample set. I don't even need money.
He's not going to get money. here's some passes to Galaxy's Edge, kid. Go on. have a good day.
Oh, God.
I think we're planning on going. Ashley and I and some friends are planning on going right after Comic-Con in July.
Awesome.
So, looks like we'll, if all goes to plan, I'll be visiting Galaxy's Edge right after Comic-Con.
Sort we're talking about going next January to Disney World for my 45th birthday.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going moving to Galaxy's Edge for like 15 years.
Yeah, right, are you gonna be there in February again?
Usually, I think, I mean, it's unofficial, but sort of Valentine's to President's Day is sort of my Epcot time slot.
Okay.
So if I'm lucky enough to be invited back again, that will probably be the time slot again.
So you should hold off booking until you find
out. We're keep talking about moving down there, so that's like, you know, that would be even better.
I'll miss you.
I am crashing at Johnny Rockstar's pad.
Yeah, so exactly. That's
exactly what would happen. It's like, you know, hey, Brian, you don't need to stay at a hotel. Come on over to the house.
I talked to a guy who had just purchased property in Kissimmee, and he was at Epcot Festival of the Arts buying art to decorate it so that he could turn into the ultimate Star Wars Airbnb for when Galaxy's Edge opened up.
Yeah,
oh,
cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's really smart.
Yep.
I was thinking, this guy's smarter than I am.
Celebration will go back to Orlando after this, probably.
Hopefully, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, Orlando, Anaheim, something.
Is this the last year that Reed Pop's doing it?
I haven't heard that. Okay. No, I assume
like
there's
rumors going around that that's
what's
happening.
You told me that.
Yeah, I heard
that. The only problem with that is there's not too many organizers in the States as big as Reed Pop that can handle something as large as Celebration. It's not like just anyone can put on Celebration. Like Lucasfilm and Disney have to partner with an event organizer, and there's really not too many of them that can handle something of this size. So if Reed weren't to do it, I don't know who else they would get.
Yeah, I don't know who does D23. I would that'd be the only other like group that could probably handle it.
And San Diego's nonprofit,
and D23 is a much smaller show.
Right. I don't know. It was a rumor, I guess. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I'd wait to hear more before I invest in that rumor.
I don't invest in any rumors.
So I was already excited for Celebration because this is going to be my first. And after talking to you guys for the last 50 or so minutes, I'm even more excited to go.
I had a good time. I went to 3 and I thought it was a great time. I volunteered for official picks and, you know, had fun doing that. And, you know, that was fun.
Yeah, did we meet at Celebration 3?
We did not meet there. That was the first time I bought something that had your art on it, was at that show.
Okay.
And then I found you, I think, at either...
that sounded so creepy. Then I found you.
Well, no, like I didn't know who he was.
Right.
And I think it was either a Mid-Ohio Con or a Motor City, something like that. I walked past your table and I went, hey, wait, I know who this guy is because I have that Star Wars Celebration guide that had your art on it.
Yeah, and that bag from his garbage can.
I know you.
Backyard.
You're that Star Wars guy.
You're that guy that draws those Star Wars pictures.
You owe me $50. That's what I usually get.
You know all those wadded up drawings that you threw away? Johnny has them all.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a big raccoon in my garbage again. Oh, it's just Johnny.
I don't think he throws stuff away.
Why
throw it away when
you
can sell it?
Well, since you're getting excited for Celebration, I know maybe we should talk about Celebration a little bit before we go.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the art show aspect of it, but
what are you excited for?
We're gonna have big guests. We're gonna have, you know, voice actors and movie actors. You know, people behind the films and artists and the droid makers. It's going to be amazing.
Brian, are you getting paid a promotional fee? Or...
Well,
I wish.
I tell
it's
you guys.
It's a Lucasfilm implant.
Yeah. I tell you guys what, if you want to feel like rock stars, I'm going to like a little cross podcast promotion here. The Rogue Squadron podcast is doing a big meetup on like Thursday or Friday at one of the breweries. You guys should just roll in and they'll be like, oh my God.
Official Star Wars artist.
Who are the two workers?
Yeah, they'll be like, who are these losers?
No, those guys are like, they're legitimately like huge, like, you know, knowledge base of all of it. So
my question is there something that you've seen that you're excited for at Celebration?
I've seen most of the art show art because Joe and I are friends with all the other artists.
Right.
And I can say, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's self-serving. We're like, oh, please come buy our art. But the bigger point is that, you know, of 700 plus artists, they narrow it down to a couple of dozen. And, you know, go and seek out all the artists. Yes, Joe and I, but the other ones as well, because there's some really incredible pieces and all these artists put their heart and soul into this, and they don't have agents booking them with big deals and all that kind of stuff. And so this is their one chance to meet you and your one chance to meet them and to take away, you know, take home something special that they made just for you. So, you know, whether your favorite film is from the original trilogy or from the prequels or something newer, there's going to be something for everybody in the art show this year.
Cool. Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans are so used to going to these big events, these Comic Cons and these Star Wars celebrations and meeting the celebrities and the actors, and which is great because that's the big draw. That's what brings all the crowds. But the artists themselves are just as accessible. And oftentimes, you know, we're not charging for autographs or photos. You'll find if you go into the art show or any of the artist booths around the floor, you know, guys like Brian and I are really accessible. So we'll you know, you come up by Star Wars, we'll chat with you as long as time allows. There's not huge crowds and lines, but we love talking with the fans and, you know, just having fun chatting about Star Wars at the biggest Star Wars party on the planet, basically. So definitely visit the artists, and they're all approachable and accessible, and make sure you see all the different cool, exciting Star Wars art everyone's brought with them.
If you're a cosplayer, or if you built a droid, or you have something cool, stop by the booth, because odds are we won't be able to leave to see you, but if you come by and stop by and say hi to us, you're going to make our day, and we're going to want to take our pictures with you. And we're going to want to share your excitement too. So, you know, just because we're on the other side of the table doesn't mean that we're aloof or inaccessible or anything.
Right. Yeah. That goes for a lot of the artists too. So, we're friends with a lot of the cosplayers and droid builders. So they'll often, if you come by our booth, you'll see like someone dressed as Ahsoka Tano, or you'll see like my friends with their own R2 droids stopping by. So it's always have a fun, great time at our booth. So
yeah, I actually got a cool picture. One of you, I think it was Motor City, of a Yuuzhan Vong and BB-8 Chopper. Chopper and Yuuzhan Vong in the same picture, and it's like that's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, Chopper was my friend Kurt's Chopper. Yeah, he'll be a celebration.
That was a great Chopper.
We're just gonna go around and fill up our interview slate with other Star Wars artists. Yeah. Like, look, we've talked to Joe and Brian. At least
they said it's okay
now
for us to harass you.
Yeah.
we've heard their story enough. We need something new.
Right. We're done talking.
So tell us how Joe and Brian harassed you.
I've never been harassed by Joe. He just takes my money.
Yeah, he harasses us into taking our money. Buy this.
I'm always like, Johnny, look at this new Star Trek print I did. You don't have this one, right? He's like,
So there was an idea I told Brian that I thought about doing for Star Wars Celebration. I was going to wear Star Trek shirts every day. just to see who would get upset.
At a Celebration Orlando, there was a couple of girls, and they were in Starfleet uniforms, but they were wielding lightsabers. It was pretty cool.
That's funny. So
I'll definitely get pictures with people like that, because the fun stuff right there.
The the guy that does our shirts for the podcast is making me some like Celebration shirts where it's like a Monopoly type thing where it says Imperial chest instead of Community chest, and like different cards. So we'll see how those turn out.
Nice.
We'll end up in a dark room because Lucasfilm will be like, "Where were these?
Yeah. So I'll just hand them the flying.
Like, hey, I know Joe Caroni.
Here's the Flying Pork Apparel business card.
Do you know who Brian Miller is? I know Brian Miller.
Joe made it.
We're gonna.
We'll be like, Joe totally who?
Yeah, right.
Plausible deniability.
They'll drag us out. No Stormtroopers will drag us out to their booth, all bloodied up, and they'll be like, "No, we don't know those guys."
It's like, what's a podcart? I don't even know what that is.
Move along.
A modcast? I don't know what are no.
He said he was your brother, Caroni.
Yeah.
Are you guys like? Did you see the Hasbro exclusives, the Black Series exclusives they're doing for the show?
Yeah, the Phantom Menace figures.
Oh yeah.
Is anybody going after those?
I want both.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'll try to get those. I have to cut back on collecting just because, like, It's just they're putting so much out, and I do my collecting habits are kind of minimal, but even minimal. Ashley's laughing at me, but even minimal for Star Wars is like, you know, like there's just so much stuff out there. I mean, I'll collect some of the figures here and there and stuff, but man, there's just so much stuff coming out. It's like, all right, I have to really curb.
Yeah,
you say minimal. But you got the sail barge.
Okay, that.
All right. Hey,
last year
he's got a Hasbro connection.
I know. I'm kidding. So I want to I want to get the Obi-Wan and Darth Maul because I still have the ones from The Force Awakens on the card, or not Force Awakens. Phantom Menace on the card. Yeah, so like, I want to have the 3 3/4 next to the 6-inch ones.
The Phantom Awakens.
The Phantom.
And the
Awakens.
Cool thing is the Obi-Wan's a new sculpt for that.
Yeah.
You know, the Darth Maul is a. Is a repro from the very first Black Series wave, which is still a cool figure. I have that one, but
yeah.
Obi-Wan's not a repro, so that's really
They
cool.
said he's going to come out later in the actual Black Series box.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm cool. I'll get one of each and, you know.
Well, and those Celebration exclusives, especially the figures, like, you know, I kicked myself for not getting at the last Celebration the Rebel Pilot Luke for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, that's one that I'm missing.
Well, I did get that one, luckily, again, thanks to a friend, but that, I should have got it at the show, and I didn't, because I was like, oh, I'll get it later, I'm not worried. I'm like, we were so swamped at Celebration in Orlando, like, we could not get away for anything, like, every day was just slamming, so.
You know who does really good Celebration exclusives, too, is Hot Wheels.
They
always come out with something amazing.
We have to watch for them. Yeah. Hopefully somebody puts up like a list of that too, because you know it's like there's a lot of stuff going on at the show that you know you'd be on one end of the show and not see something on the other end of the show.
If only we knew a podcast who could compile all that information ahead of time.
Oh, that's really weird. I don't know a podcast that would do that.
Yeah, I don't.
What is what the podcar
mod mod who what.
Isn't this live?
Are we on the air right
now? So like Johnny's not my original co-host. I think you guys know this. And the guy who was the original co-host, I think he thought we were live every time we were recording because he like started talking in a radio voice. and it was like, it's like, dude, we're recording this and I need to edit out like most of your bullshit. So
we'll be back after news and weather. It's 70 degrees outside here in Arizona and beautiful. Yeah. And
he just kept saying, you know what I'm talking about, America and stuff like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like one, our audience is
more Polish than
Poland.
Anything.
So, actually, like okay, so crazy thing for up until up until we took our little break from September to December, like Poland was number two. And all of a sudden, like, Japan has, like, come from out of nowhere. Okay. Like, we had 166 downloads from Japan, like, last week alone.
When are we doing an all-Japanese episode?
As soon as I learned to speak the language.
I was thinking an all-Polish episode would be a lot of, like.
Again.
It would sound like Klingons. A lot of guttural.
I need to get Duolingo to really like, you know, figure that out. But yeah,
I just want to do like a Shogun Darth Maul illustration so bad.
Oh, that would be so cool.
You should do it.
Yeah, just do it. I mean,
I just saw a really cool Alex Ross Superman versus Darth Vader piece. So I'm like, wow,
oh yeah, that's been around forever.
Yeah. It popped up in my news.
Well, there's the Superman versus Darth Vader, and there's Doctor Doom versus Darth Vader.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah, those two are beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a really cool YouTube thing. It's Darth Vader versus Superman beatdowns.
Yep.
And
they have
the one where Vader wins. Or no, it's Batman. I'm sorry.
Batman, yeah.
But they have the one where Vader wins and then they have
comes in at the end.
Yeah, with Batman, like, cuz Superman's in the in prison.
Yeah, Batman's come to rescue him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a great.
Cuz the Death Star destroyed Krypton.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
that was really cool.
Yeah. So all right. So what booth are you guys in?
3116, 3116. And actually, when you walk into Celebration, like when you walk through the main entrance to the show floor, our booth is like going to be one of the very first booths you see that you'll pass by. So
nice.
I think we're in the first island. There'll be a big island of booths right in the front when you walk in, and ours, I at least when I look at the map, we're right by the main entrance. So
cool,
You'll see us pretty quickly.
Awesome. So you'll be the first people we say hi to.
I totally ignore.
So yeah, we'll just totally walk by. We'll be like, oh, I don't know those guys. Yeah. So
I'll run over to Brian and buy all Brian stuff. Be like, who? Joe who?
Well, don't you have everything Joe's made?
No, I don't have everything.
So, hey, how much are those canvas ones, Joe?
Well, I'm still deciding on a price. So, I mean, they can, yeah,
$1 million.
Because Johnny definitely needs one of those.
There'll be a few $100s for sure. I'm not exactly sure yet the price point. But, I mean, they could be anywhere from, I would say, 3 to 4 to 5 on up. So it really depends on how limited I make them and basically how many I can get done before the event in
April 11th.
Yeah. No sleeping in March for you.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But that's to get a canvas touched by the master's hand himself. So it'll be worth any price.
Oh, my God.
Very cool.
I mean, I need to hire Brian to do all my
I was going
to
say, Brian is like a great promoter.
Yeah, he's your hype man.
He's just have him out
in front of the booth, like, as a hype man. Like
that's the high-five color thing about, right there.
The great thing about Brian is he, as talented as he is, he also is – very, very supportive of all artists in general. So he, like, if you want someone on your team or someone on your at your back, like, Brian is like the guy to have, because he'll promote you and push you all the way to the finish line, and so you got to give him props for that. So.
Very cool. So Brian, we have this thing called a podcast.
There we go.
So, all right. So where can they find you guys online?
Go ahead, Brian. Okay. Octopolis.com is my website, and then on social media, Octopolis on Facebook and Instagram, and then Twitter, it's Octopolis Art. I don't know how anybody in their right mind managed to get Octopolis before me on Twitter, but somebody did.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's Octopolis Art on Twitter and Octopolis.
Spell the way
everywhere.
You spell it.
It's right.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's what's weird. Yeah, that's weird.
So why don't you spell it for everybody so they know?
It's OKTOPOLIS. So it's just basically octopus and metropolis combined. So it's Octopolis.
It'll be in the show notes. We'll put it all in the show notes.
And Joe, where can they find you guys?
I'm all over social media. Basically, it's joecaroni.com is my website. So if you go there, that's my home site. And then from there, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz. So, yeah, and I'll be updating my website with new artwork right before Celebration, and also my social media. You might, if you follow me there, you'll catch glimpses of it there first, and then be sure to follow me online leading up to pretty much every day leading up to Celebration from this point, because I'm just going to be constantly posting updates and previews and sharing, you know, the progress of this art coming together, and then hopefully right at least a week or two, well, definitely a week before Celebration, I'll at least have everything revealed that I'll be bringing. So
cool.
And something I would shout out to fans is, you know, if you follow us and you see something you like, we're not big superstars. We don't have agents. We don't have PR people. So if you see something you like and you belong to a Star Wars group, or if you're in the 501st and you're on, you know, Facebook message board, something, share it. Just share it with other Star Wars fans, because that's the only way people can discover our art. We cannot reach everybody by ourselves. So, you know, if you like it, odds are other Star Wars fans will like it. And if you share it, they'll be able to find it and find us, and we'll owe you a debt of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they end up on podcasts like this, because they just have to.
Well,
you know. All right, one last thing. Did you guys see the thing Tover Grace put out today, the Star Wars Always trailer?
That was really cool.
It's so cool. You guys have heard about that 85-minute cut he did of the prequel?
Right, yep.
Like, I want to see that so bad. Like, he just does, like, secret private screenings for it, and it's like, mm-hmm. I've never wanted to be best friends with a celebrity more than him just to see that.
Yeah, he cut all three prequels into one 85-minute film. And apparently, he took out General Grievous, which is kind of sad, because I like Grievous a lot, but he took out Grievous, Jar Jar, for the most part, except for, like, one little scene. He took out all the politics Galactic Senate stuff and really just mashed all three movies into one really streamlined, powerful film. And I guess everyone that's seen it, I have friends out in LA that have seen it, and they're just like, it is like crazy.
I was going to ask you, Joe, how was it?
I didn't see it. No. I'm not friends with
Brian has though. Brian's seen it.
Well, maybe Topher will get his own Star Wars show on Disney Plus or something.
I mean, yeah. To be honest, like, this trailer is cut together so beautifully, like with all the music from all the films. And, you know, the way he interweaved like Solo in and you know, into, you know, Empire and then like Han's arc in there. It's amazing. So,
I love seeing the Solo stuff and the Rogue One stuff added in there. That was super cool. Yeah. I think is it called Star Wars Always?
Yeah,
or
Star
something?
Wars
I think
Always.
If you want to look.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone should check that out. That I'm sure it's trending right now.
All
right.
And then one last thing before we let you go. What is your guys' order? As far as like top to bottom.
Oh, Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Empire.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be controversial because like it's going
to
be.
Well, I'll let Brian go first. So.
I'm not going to name them all off. My top film's Empire. That's all you need to know.
What's your. Okay, no. Everybody's is Empire. What's your number two?
It probably goes Empire, A New Hope, Jedi, Rogue One, and then somewhere after that.
All right.
Fair enough.
Joe, what's your number three? Because you already told us your number two.
Yeah. Number three would be A New Hope. And then four would be Jedi. And then after that, we've got, I would say, I still put Force Awakens over Rogue One. Prequels are going to come in.
Better question. You know. I got a better question. What's on the bottom of your list?
Ooh.
Holiday special.
We don't count that one.
The Ewok movies.
Yeah. No, I put, you know, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. It's probably granted, I love all Star Wars, like, you know, equally. But as far as the ones I watch the least, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones would probably be towards the bottom of the list. But granted, when they come on, I still watch them. I'm like, Star Wars is... like pizza, you know.
Yeah.
It's pizza. It may not be the best pizza, but it's still pizza. So it's still, you know.
We're gonna learn about that in about a month when we're eating that casserole that they call pizza in Chicago.
Oh, Giordano's. That's right.
See?
Ashley just reminded me.
Yeah, I was like to our group. I was like, we need to go to Giordano's for dinner. So we should like get a big thing together. All go to dinner.
Yeah. So. I love that place.
Wheel one of those to our booth, please.
Yeah. You know, you can order them. Like, you can get two of their pizzas for like $75 delivered to you anywhere in the country.
What?
Yeah, but you got to cook it.
That's awesome.
You got to cook it yourself, so it's not going to be the same thing.
Nah, it won't be the same, but that's pretty cool.
But, well, all right, guys. I think we've used a lot of your time, and you guys have hand cramps drawing to get back to. So.
Yeah, I've been painting this whole time, actually, so I'm killing two birds.
You did that last time. Yeah, every time we've talked to you, you've been doing something else.
I know,
an amazing multitasker. I appreciate
it's the only thing that keeps me. It's the only thing that keeps me sane when I'm talking to you guys. Otherwise,
Wow. I even feel more evil. Like when I talk to Joe, I feel more evil than I already think I am.
Oh, dude, you're super evil. Don't worry about that.
Today I told a guy at work I walked through a department that you're not supposed to walk through.
Oh, no.
Without a hairnet on.
Oh.
And I walked through and he goes, you just come through a department like you. I said, that's because I'm a Dark Lord of the Sith. And he goes, I believe that.
Johnny only speaks in absolutes.
I said, hey, I'll kill kids if I have to get my thing done.
All right, so
Jedi kids.
Yeah, Jedi
kids. Padawans no more.
Master Johnny, what are we going to do?
The younglings got to go. So, all right. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much. And we can't wait to see you guys when we're all out there. So
we finally will get to meet Brian.
Yeah, the elusive Brian. So
that's right. Yeah, you get to meet Brian. He never really comes out this side of the country very often, so we'll get
and
to,
then his wife will recruit crazy. Me for an archaeological dig, and I'll be like, all right, cool, I'm going to Omaha.
Hey, we take volunteers and students. We'll sign you up.
See, yeah.
You got a volunteer.
Did you
volunteer is the key word there.
I know. Brian, did you I put the link on your Facebook page of something with a haunting in Omaha.
With the wife.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, yeah, I saw you. There was something. Yeah, well, I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel I watch called Top Fives where he does paranormal and all, you know, cryptid stuff and that. And he did one of five, like the top five haunted places in the Middle East. And like number four was in Oman.
Well, I believe it. First of all, in Arabic, they always, when they talk about ghosts, they're called the jinn.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He said that it was a jinn.
So in Oman, you definitely hear people talk about the jinn, and we joke about it, especially if we're out in the desert in the middle of nowhere. But there is this place called the Gravity Spot that's about an hour away from where we live over there. And whether it's an optical illusion or science or something unexplained, I don't know, but you can park your vehicle in this gravity spot, put it in neutral, take your foot off the brakes, and it will start to drive uphill
okay.
on its own,
yep.
under its own what? Accord.
That's the and Wishmaster.
That's what pretty that creepy, and there's online videos, and I can tell you, I've been there, I've done it, and it's real.
That is weird.
I believe it. But yeah, I put that video on your Facebook page so you can watch it. And I think it was like a castle or something.
Well, I believe, I mean, there's lots of old, they call them old forts or old castles.
Yeah.
All over Oman on the, kind of around the coast. And if there was any place that was going to be haunted by some djinn, that would be the place.
Okay.
Cool. That's awesome. So. All right. Well, on that note, thank you guys. And for everybody else, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. May the force be with you.
Yep. May the force be with you.
The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.